Well, you're here on a good day because we're starting a brand new series, a 7-week series that'll take us through the end of February. And the title of the series is The Spirit at Work. We're going to be learning about the person of the Holy Spirit. I've titled the kickoff message, Getting to Know the Holy Spirit. That's the title of this morning's message, Getting to Know the Holy Spirit. And so as we embark on this very important series, we want to just kind of get to know the Holy Spirit this morning. This will take us through January, as I said, and then we'll make our way into February. In February, here at E-Free Church, is Missions Month. And so when we make our way to February, we'll see the Spirit's work in the world and in the spreading of the gospel. This morning, I just have a very simple goal. And the goal is to introduce you to the Holy Spirit. We're going to get to know him a little this morning. And in the weeks to come, we'll get to know him more and more and more. Now, speaking of introductions, we've all been in a situation where, let's say you're talking to somebody, and then you're going to introduce a loved one to that person. Maybe you're going to introduce a spouse, a child, a sibling, a parent. And so you're talking with this individual, and along comes your loved one. Oh, so-and-so, please meet my spouse, my child, my parent. Now, we've all been in that situation, and my guess is this, that when you introduce that loved one, it's easy because you know so much about that person. If it's your spouse or child or parent, you could introduce that person easily because you have a very close relationship. So the question for us this morning is, if we were asked to introduce the Holy Spirit to someone, how well would we do? And another way to frame that question is, how well do we know the Holy Spirit? How well do we know the Holy Spirit? It's an important question. And while part of our knowledge of the Holy Spirit involves a theological understanding, our hope is throughout this series that we will gain an even deeper understanding about the Holy Spirit so that it's not just simply theological or informational. How well do we know the Holy Spirit? And so this series will allow us to get to know the Spirit in a way that is like when somebody says to you, how well do you know me? Do you know me? Do you know me? And so by the end of the series, we want to be able to say, we know him. We want to understand the Spirit, not only theologically, not only academically, but we want to know him intimately. And so today we're going to just get to know him. We're going to scratch the surface this morning. And I want to share with you three foundational truths about the Holy Spirit. Three foundational truths. And the first truth is this. He is eternally one with the Father and Son. The Holy Spirit is eternally one with the Father and Son. Now we know this much. And if you agree with me, just nod your head. God is one God. Yes, God is one God. And he exists in three distinct persons. So God is one God who exists in three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In theological terms, this is the concept known as the Trinity. God is one God who exists in three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, each person being fully God. So there are not three gods. We don't worship three gods. We worship one God who exists in three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1, and I'll read to you the first two verses. Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Keep your finger here. Keep your place right here in Genesis 1. We'll read another verse in just a minute. But it says here, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. At the very beginning of time, the Holy Spirit was there. And what that tells us is that the Holy Spirit was there before the beginning of time. And so the Holy Spirit is eternally one with the Father and Son. Now, one of the mistakes that people often make when they think about the Holy Spirit or when they refer to the Holy Spirit is they think the Holy Spirit is just simply some force, an impersonal force. The Spirit is not an impersonal force. He is a person like the Father and the Son. And so the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. Look at verse 26 in Genesis 1. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And so here in verse 26, we see the Trinity in effect. God the Father is in conversation with the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so the first foundational truth that is crucial for us to understand is that the Holy Spirit, He is eternally one with the Father and Son. He is a person. Now, that doesn't mean that He has a physical body. He is spirit. But He has a personality, which leads us to the second foundational truth, and that's this. He possesses His own mind, emotions, and will. Did you know that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, has His own mind, emotions, and will? So yes, He is co-equal with the Father. He is co-equal with the Son. At the same time, He has His own distinct mind, His own emotions, His own will. And that's because, well, He's His own person. God is one God who exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, when Jesus was preparing to go to the Father, His disciples, they grew anxious. Their hearts were filled with fear. And Jesus comforted them. You see, they couldn't understand why would Jesus have to leave them to go to the Father. And so Jesus comforted His disciples. And in John 14, verses 15 to 17, this is what Jesus says. John 14, verses 15 to 17. "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you." And so here we see a clear example of the Trinity at work. So Jesus, the Son, asks the Father to send an advocate, the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of truth would come and be with Jesus' disciples forever. And the Spirit of truth possesses His own mind, emotions, and will. Let's talk about those three things for a minute. His mind, emotions, and will. Because it's possible, when you think about the Holy Spirit, it's possible that those facts might even not enter your mind. The very fact that the Holy Spirit has His own mind. In Romans 8, verses 26 and 27, Paul writes this. "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit." When it says He, that's God the Father. When God the Father, who searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit. because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And so here in Romans 8, Paul describes how the Holy Spirit, he intercedes for us. In other words, the Holy Spirit prays for you. Have you ever thought about that fact? That the Holy Spirit goes to the Father in prayer for us. The Holy Spirit prays for us. And in verse 27, we're told that God the Father knows the mind of the Spirit. An impersonal force does not have a mind. The Holy Spirit possesses his own distinct mind. And I think that that is so encouraging to know that the Holy Spirit goes to the Father on our behalf. He intercedes for us. Have you ever found yourself in a moment of despair or a moment of just confusion, and you're like, God, I don't know. I don't know what to pray. God, I'm at a loss. I just don't know what to say. At that moment, the Holy Spirit says, move over. I'll take over for you. I got you. I'm going to go to the Father on your behalf. I know exactly what you need, even more than you do. And I'm going to go pray to the Father on your behalf. He has his own mind. It is wonderful. It is brilliant to know that the Holy Spirit has a distinct mind. Not only that, did you know that the Holy Spirit also possesses emotions? The Holy Spirit possesses emotions. In Ephesians 4, verses 30 and 31, it says this, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Now, in the preceding verse, Paul exhorted the Ephesian believers not to allow any unwholesome talk to come forth from their mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. So did you know that when we say something to another person, another human being, every word that we say to another human being, it affects the Holy Spirit? Because Paul said right here, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So every time we respond to somebody with impatience, annoyance, bitterness, anger, every time we lose our temper at somebody else, it not only hurts that person, it grieves the Holy Spirit. That's a sobering fact. That every single word that comes out of our mouths affects the Holy Spirit personally. And that's why I love it that Paul said, be kind and compassionate, because every time we say something that encourages somebody else, the Holy Spirit is happy. He's glad. He rejoices. So it's like this. Let's say you meet up with somebody for coffee, and you encourage that person with words of encouragement. Or let's say you write an email or a text. Or let's say you handwrite a note. And every time you say a word of kindness and compassion to bless somebody else, here's what happens. The Holy Spirit is nodding his figurative head. And he's saying, "Atta boy. Atta girl. Good job." So every time we bless somebody on earth with our words, verbal or written, the Holy Spirit rejoices. It brings him happiness. So the Holy Spirit has a mind. He has emotions. He also has a will. His will is distinct from the will of the Father and the Son. He has his own personal will. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, Paul says this, All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines or as He wills. In chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking about the subject of spiritual gifts. Everybody who has put their faith in Jesus Christ has been granted certain spiritual gifts. So the fact is this, every one of you, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you have at least one gift, at least one spiritual gift. Some of you have many gifts, but here's another fact, nobody has all the gifts. Because if one person had all the gifts, that person wouldn't need anybody else. So what are some of these gifts? Well, these gifts include things such as teaching and leadership and administration, serving behind the scenes, faith, giving, mercy. These are just some of the many, many gifts that the Holy Spirit distributes at His will. So think about your life right now. And I encourage you right now, think about at least one gift that you have, one spiritual gift. And just know that that was given to you by the Holy Spirit. He distributes these gifts as He wills. And so the Holy Spirit has His own mind, His own emotions, and His own will. In the Holy Trinity, the one who gives the spiritual gifts is the Holy Spirit. And that brings us to the third and final foundational truth about the Spirit. He enables us to experience Jesus in our lives. The Holy Spirit enables us to experience Jesus in our lives. Last week, we kicked off 2025 by sharing a goal. Our goal in 2025 is the same goal for every year. It's the same goal for every day of every year, and that is to look more like Jesus. What is your goal in 2025? It's to look more like Jesus. On the final day of 25, December 31st, we want to look more like Jesus than we did on January 1st. And the only way that we're going to look more like Jesus is through the power of the Holy Spirit. I hope you know that. It's the only way, through the power of the Holy Spirit, who gives us the strength each and every day to live the life that Jesus purchased for us. Jesus purchased your life and my life on the cross. And the only way that we can live like Jesus and look like Jesus and love like Jesus is through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, the concept of the Trinity, on one hand, it can seem kind of daunting and a little bit complex. But what I find so wonderfully beautiful about the Trinity is the relationship amongst the members of the Trinity. It is so beautiful and so practical. And I want to share about this with you. When it comes to our salvation, the work of the Trinity, it is unparalleled. It is so wonderful. And each person of the Trinity plays a very specific role in your salvation and mine. Maybe you've never thought about it this way, but I want to share with you a phrase that hopefully you'll get familiar with, maybe even commit it to memory this week. And as it pertains to our salvation, take a look here. The Father arranges salvation, the Son accomplishes it, and the Holy Spirit applies it to our lives. That's the beautiful relationship. I'm going to keep this up here for a minute. The Father arranges salvation. The Son accomplishes it. And the Holy Spirit applies it to our lives. I would love it if you say this along with me. Can we say it together in unison? Ready? The Father arranges salvation. The Son accomplishes it. And the Holy Spirit applies it to our lives. You know, for Jesus, obedience to the Father's will was central to His mission here on earth. Every single thing that Jesus did on earth, every single thing, was for the purpose of fulfilling God's will. Just a minute ago, we said that the Spirit has His own will. Jesus also has His own will. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus anguished at the very idea of suffering unimaginable pain on His way to the cross. It was so painful that in that moment of despair, he asked the Father, is it possible to take this cup of suffering from me? God, would you consider? But Jesus knew that the only way that mankind could be redeemed was by his sacrifice. And so what did Jesus say? Not my will be done, yours. So Jesus has his own will. But his will was always to do the will of the Father. That was central to his mission here on earth. And just as beautiful as that relationship is, Jesus to God, Son to Father, just as beautiful as that is, did you know that there's a beautiful relationship between the Holy Spirit and Jesus? I'm not sure if this has ever crossed your mind, but the Holy Spirit's overarching role in our lives is to bring glory to Jesus. That's his overarching role. The overarching role of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to bring glory to Jesus, is to point us to Jesus. One author puts it this way: the Holy Spirit makes Jesus real in our lives. I like that. In John 16, verses 13 to 15, it tells us just that. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Here it is. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. And so every single thing that you and I experience about Jesus is made possible by the work of the Holy Spirit. Even going back to when you and I were lost and dead in our trespasses, when we were lost in our sin, and when we moved from death to life, it was by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, you and I did not save ourselves. You see, we weren't just simply sick, and somehow we lifted ourselves off of our spiritual deathbed and said, God, I want you now. We were dead in our sins, spiritually dead. And it was only the Holy Spirit who brought us back to life spiritually. And so the reality is this: no one can experience Jesus in a lasting way without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God who moves us from death to life. I think it's so beautiful that the Spirit of God draws our attention to Jesus. I think it's just an incredibly moving and beautiful picture of the Holy Trinity. The Son is committed to the will of the Father. The Spirit glorifies Jesus. He makes him real to us. And so if you want to live a changed life in 2025, the only way is to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the only way. If you want to look more like Jesus, we need to look to the Spirit. And so, here's my encouragement to you. If you're up to this task, tomorrow morning when you wake up and you swing your legs over the side of your bed, pause for a second. And before you get up, say this very quick prayer. And that's this: Holy Spirit, enable me to experience Jesus today. If we utter that one prayer and mean it, imagine what can happen for the rest of the day. Just pause tomorrow morning. Holy Spirit, enable me to experience Jesus today. Because what that does is it puts us in the right spiritual frame of mind so that the first words out of our mouths, maybe to a loved one, a coworker, a neighbor, a friend, the person in the other car who can't hear you anyway, maybe the first word you'll remember, wait a minute, Tim, you prayed that prayer. Holy Spirit, enable me to experience Jesus today. And the way we experience Jesus today is by our relationships with others. How they experience Jesus is how we will experience Jesus. So if we want to look more like Jesus in 2025, ask the Holy Spirit to enable us, to give us the power to do so. Would you bow with me? Father, I thank you for arranging salvation. Jesus, I thank you for accomplishing it. And Holy Spirit, thank you for applying it to my life. Father, you arrange our salvation. You are the author of our salvation. Lord Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins to accomplish salvation. In spirit, thank you for making Jesus real to me. Thank you for enabling me to experience Jesus. And this week, Father, I pray that we as a church, that we would love like Jesus, we would live like Jesus, we would look like Jesus. Spirit, give us the power to do so. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.